Today we want to talk to you a little bit about how AX is using and maximizing the power of SQL Azure, and also what cool real-time analytics features AX actually has for you. I take a bet you have seen these slides before, right? So, so the agenda is basically, you first talk a little bit about the AX architecture, how AX is using SQL Server 2016 and SQL Azure. Then we talk a little bit about how we manage cost and performance, go into real-time analytics, and we have two little demos for you. Then we show you like a little bit how AX is actually using in memory tables. And then we talk a little bit about the entity store and the scenarios thereof. So let's talk a little bit about the AX topology in the cloud and on-premise. So obviously, AX7, well, there's no topology not in the cloud. Everything in AX7 is at any point in time in the cloud. If you look from this diagram, basically, which we have over there, then you can say, essentially, the AX client, pure HTML client, and then the AX, the server, is basically a DLL, and this DLL gets loaded in the Internet Information Server. Then you look down to the next tier, basically here, where it says telemetry enabled. Maybe I can use that. You just look down there on the tier where it says telemetry enabled. You can say we basically send events from AX into persistent data stores. Then below that, you have Azure Compute. So the Azure Compute is basically typically a D13 V2. So regularly, that's 8-core boxes with lots of disk space. And then we come to the topic which we will talk mostly about in this session. It's basically Power BI, Cortana Analytics, SSRS, SQL Azure in general, on these kind of topics. Then, then we have a little bit, about how we integrate. So the two things what AX is actually using right now, I think right as of now we don't use Azure BizTalk Service. We have the DIXF and we have OData, which we use for integration. So now how does this all play together? When you code in AX, well, for AX7 you will use Visual Studio. And you will use it either on your dev box or in your dev VM. You might have your VM on your desktop. Or you might also use an online deployed VM, right, which is in your subscription. So these are your two options. Then the SQL Server on the dev topology is SQL Server 2016. And then you basically deploy over to SQL Azure. So basically, you upload your metadata. You basically, if you transfer data, you create backpack files, and we basically deploy into the cloud. With that, I give it to Sunil. We'll talk to you a little bit about managing cost performance. No, you need to use the keyboard.
Okay. All right. So let me start off. I mean, we have such a short, like a small audience. How many of you have experience with SQL DB, like a Azure database? Just raise your hands. One. OK, are you thinking about moving to Azure environment or? OK, good. So one key promise of cloud technology is that you do not have to provision for the maximum. So I've been with many IT departments, talk to them, you know, when they plan to buy a box or whatever, they buy the box every 3 years, every 4 years, they want to buy a box that is gonna meet their workload requirement for the next 4 years, right? So they will buy the big box. And what happens is in many, many environments, the box is not really using all the resources. So having said that, let me ask you, any of you, are you running your workloads more than 30 to 40% of your CPU? Anybody running more than 40% in your workload? Okay. But what we find is, in general, people are not using the box to the capacity it is designed for. And the primary reason is, it's like a guess. How much workload is going to come, right? And you want to be make sure, you want to be assured, then when the workload increases, you have the box that can deal with that. Now, when Dynamics AX decided to move to the cloud, one of the key benefits is we want to give you a service that can lower your cost. And I want to talk about how the cloud, the SQL DB, the SQL database in the cloud, can lower your cost. So first thing that you will see is that you get three different flavors of the boxes, if you want to say that. I'm going to keep it like a logically think of it as a box. You have a basic box, you have a standard box, and you have a premium box. And the premium is designed for your high throughput business critical application that you see, right? Mouse is going to go here. Just a second. Where is the mouse? Okay, so mouse is here. So it's a high throughput transactional system, high performance. So the premium is the category that Azure will be running on. So your Dynamics AX will be running on. So we're choosing a premium. Now within premium, we have multiple price points. So for example, you can see there is a basic thing that you see, a teeny little box on the leftmost side. It is, $5 a month kind of a box. You do not run your Dynamics on a $5 a month box. It's standard. And then the thing that you see in the red or violet or whatever, these are the premium boxes, right? You have P1, P2, P4, P6, and P11, and we will keep adding more of those powerful boxes over time. So the thing is, when you deploy your Dynamics AX, in the part of configuration, we will ask you something about your workload and size of the database and something like that. And based on that, we will figure out which of this P1 through P11 will be best suited for your workload, right? So right there, we will choose the box for you behind the scene. Now, it is not that you're stuck with that box, right? It is a service. You don't even see the box. And we have the capability to move up and down the stack as your workload increases. Suppose your workload is increasing, we can put you in a higher box. So the point is, you are provisioning the hardware. We are provisioning the hardware based on the requirements and the need of your workload, right? That means your cost is lower. Like that's one actually very important point. And I think you can see that bigger database and everything else, right? So this is what the premium box is. So that is one angle, which is actually a very powerful angle for the cloud, for the cost. And I'll give you another example just to convince here.
Well, I also can chime in there.
Sure.
Is on this box. So basically, when you try to deploy a new AX environment, right? So how the whole sizing works is essentially you go into LCS, log in, and you fill out the subscription estimator, which essentially tells us how many complex transactions you do. It gives an estimation of your workload, and based on that, we basically size that in the back end. So that's right now still hand done. So there's like a person sitting there and doing that. That might be me. That might be another coworker of mine. We implement an automation for that. Just at the moment, we do it very individual because AX7 is just in the market, right? And we just don't have so much experience yet with it. But it'll come. It'll be more automated. But essentially, we figure out the right size for you. So there's nothing you need to do. You just need to tell us what you intend to do.
That's right. And I think the key points, like I'm talking about, you can scale up and down. And it is online. It's not like when we are scaling up. It's not you're taking the workload from this box to this box. So it's very important, right? You want to dynamically dial up and down as your workload increases, right? Hourly billing. So suppose I'm running. Let's say my workload is heavy duty between 8 in the morning till 5 p.m. I want to run a heavier box. And when the evening comes, I can go to the lighter box. Point is this, you have many options available through the cloud which can lower the cost. Now, the second thing that we have done, it is something actually quite unique. Any of you run consolidation? You run multiple databases on the same instance of SQL Server? I mean, but like, okay, virtual machines. You must have heard about virtual machines, right? What you do, you have a big box. You can break it down into multiple virtual machines, and you can run multiple workloads on the same physical machine, right? Multiple virtual machines. So the elastic data pools is almost the same concept. So what we do is, like your customers, like Dynamics customers, right? They are hosting their database on SQL Azure database. Now, what we can do is not every customer, Dynamics AX customer, is active at the same time, right? Because, I mean, imagine this, if there's a customer in US and there's a customer in Asia, their peak hours will be different, right? So what we do behind the scene, this is something that you don't have to worry about. We map multiple customer databases. They are not the same database. They are multi-tenant scenario into the same box, if you will, okay? And what we have is, we call like a database pool. We guarantee that each database will have this much minimum resources. So it cannot be the case that if you put multiple databases into a pool, one database eats up everything. It is not gonna be the case, right? But the thing is, there are peaks and valleys for every database workload. And then what you can do is, you can put multiple databases into the same elastic pool. So the benefit to our customers, that is you, is by doing this technology, we are reducing the cost even further, right? And that means you get the service at a much, much lower cost. So those are the two innovations that we have done from a cost perspective. And the third thing is, like any workload that you have needs to be highly available, needs to be set up for the disaster recovery, right? So that means there's a separate box sitting for high availability, right? And there's a disaster recovery, maybe a separate data center. When you move to SQL DB, Azure DB, I'm using Azure DB or SQL DB interchangeably. So those things are available to you automatically. Do not have to do anything, right? We have the secondary, you can fail. And as I said, we have even the geo DR side. Now, the technology that we use for this high availability slash disaster recovery is called Always On. Always On was a technology that was introduced in SQL Server 2012. And the goal is that you can fail over, if some suppose primary node goes down, we can fail over in seconds. So that is one important point. And the second important point was those secondary that you have created, we want to use those secondaries for running queries as well. So you can almost think of, if I have a machine like a SQL DB database, right? I may have multiple secondaries behind the scene. You don't have to worry about it. And when you run the query, we can run the query in a scale-out fashion to those secondaries because those secondaries are in close sync with the primary. So you reduce your operational cost. You get disaster recovery automatically. So there are a lot of benefits, and that was the reason we moved to this cloud environment. Now, the second thing I want to talk about, I think this is something we are really, really excited about, is real-time operational analytics, okay? So here, just to build the motivation, I want to, I know it's the last session, I just want to get some interaction, so I'll try. So imagine this, you're running a biggest departmental store in the world. Just imagine that. You're selling everything that is available, just like Amazon, for example, right? So you are selling big ticket items like refrigerators. You are also selling milk and the fish and whatever not, right? So that means there are some items in your store that have an expiry date, and some items do not have an expiry date. So let's say you have milk in your store, and let's say the milk expiry date is tomorrow morning. Let's say that. Now, what will you do to sell those milk cartons before it expires? What will you do if you were the store manager? Sorry? Lower the price. You put on sale, right? Which is good. I can lower the price, I can sell it. But if I told you that you are selling 100 cartons an hour and you have 300 cartons left, if you knew that information, you will say, well, I'm gonna stay with the current price and I'm gonna sell it. But if I was gonna tell you that it is not selling, or you lower the price, still not selling, lower further, things like that, right? So the point I'm making is that you want to make analytics in real time, okay? And this is a new functionality that we have added in 2016, and this is something that we have integrated with ERP Dynamics system. So now you can do analytics in the real time. So here's the visual of that. So here you have a transactional system. Just think of it, this is a Dynamics AX transaction processing system. And this person is buying a flower, right? $20. Now what we can do, we can create a column store index. You see that at the bottom? This is something new in 2016 that is used by Dynamics AX. And you may not know what column store index is, but just think of it as an index, okay? Like tables, database tables have indexes. It is a new kind of an index. And this index is suitable for analytics. Okay, it runs analytics much, much, much faster, right? So you create this index, and we have done design in such a way that when you create this index, the impact of this index on the transactional workload is not that significant. Because last thing you want, if you want to run analytics on the box, you do not want to compromise on your transactional workload. You agree, right? Okay, so this is a very efficient index. Now what you can do, you can do the analytics directly on your transactional system. Now the key benefit is that now my analytics will be real time, because as transactions are happening, I can do it. So the example I was talking about, milk, I can run whatever queries I want, right? I can say, show me the hourly. Here I'm trying to show you in the query here. I'm saying, show me the perishable items, quantity, how it is changing by hour. Right, this kind of queries. And this kind of queries can be done extremely fast with column store. So I can make my decisions that are important for my business to maximize my profit. And the key thing is no data latency, right? There's no ETL involved. And so it lowers the cost. There is no separate data warehouse sitting for you to set that up. So it's much, much powerful solution. And this is a solution that has been adopted by Dynamics AX in 2016, the one that is available in the cloud, right? So think of this way. I mean, this is like going back, maybe double-clicking that scenario. So just bear with me. So this is a, how many of you know about tables and indexes? I mean, okay, all of you. So basically, you have seen this before. You have a relational table, which I'm showing you by this, you know, yellow or orange color, right? And you have multiple indexes. And you create those indexes based on what you need for your workload, for your transactional workload, right? Dynamics AX team has, how many tables you got? Like thousands of tables?
We have about 10 to 12,000.
10 to 12,000 tables. I can bet most of those tables have some indexes, right? What we're saying is, this is a example of a table in Dynamics AX. You can think this way. So what we do is, you just say, I want to do analytics, and this is something Dynamics team has done for you behind the scene. You create a non-clustered column store index. Okay, you see I'm showing something in vertical. I'm not showing, you see those boxes? There's a vertical. So we are storing data as columns, not as rows. Okay, this is a new storage format. Have you heard of HANA? I'm sure, right? HANA stores the data in the column format, like this. Okay, so now when you do your inserts, updates, deletes, this index, which is column store index, is maintained just like any other index. You don't have to worry about it. And when you run the query, behind the scene, optimizer in SQL Server is smart enough to say, well, this is an analytics query. I'm going to use this guy, this non-clustered index, column store index, because it is the most efficient index for me to run analytics. Right? So this is a key premise. And you can provide, like, for example, you see something here, like, I think it's more complex. But I think of this way. We have provide configuration options by which you can control the cost that your transactional workload will pay to maintain this index. We have that dial, okay? And that dial is being used automatically behind the scene by Dynamics team. You do not have to worry about that. So now, when you're running a transactional workload, you're getting real-time analytics, right? Now, but those analytics queries, as you can imagine, can take significant amount of resources because those queries are not simple queries. You're not saying insert one row, update one row. You are saying I want to analyze my data, the last quarter, you know what I'm trying to say? It is going to munch a lot of data. It's going to take a lot of CPU resources, right? You agree with me on that, right? So what you have is the next technology, which is always on, which I was showing you that you get for free with SQL Azure Database, right? We had these secondaries, right? So that technology is called always on. This is how it came out in SQL Server 2012. So here, what you have is you have multiple of these replicas that are available to you automatically in Azure environment. So now you can run your primary workload on the primary node, and you can run all your analytics on the secondary. So that means the only cost that your transactional workload is paying on the primary box is maintaining that index. That's the only cost. But all the queries can be offloaded. So here, what you got is you got minimal impact on your transactional workload, and you are able to do analytics on the secondary, much more efficient real-time analytics. Most businesses, we actually work with a lot of customers who are running into analytics. More and more businesses want to do ETL like every hour, and they're saying, no, I want to do live. I want to do analytics live. And the reason they could not do before was there was no technology like Column Store available to them, right? That's the reason people moved your analytics to a different box, because you do not want to compromise on a transactional workload. And this Column Store technology is not Microsoft only. It is, I was talking about HANA. This is, came out of industry, and every vendor has the technology. And based on the testing we have done, our technology is a pretty compelling technology in terms of numbers, in terms of performance. So we are pretty excited about it. Dynamics AX team was the first team that adopted this technology for their workload. And so it was really great news for us. So now think of this, right? You have your read-write workload, right? Read-write workload, which is running on the primary node. You do your read-only workload on a secondary database I was talking about, right? Remember the previous slide I was telling you secondary thing? That's where you're running your queries. And you have a much deeper analytics workload that you use for your entity store, where we are moving the data, which is like an ETL kind of a data, into a separate storage. And here's something interesting. So this is using NCCI, non-cluster column store index. And the third one is using CCI, which is the clustered column store index. So I'll just take one point just to make this clear. You must have heard about cluster indexes and non-cluster indexes, right? So the non-cluster index is created for real-time analytics because you want to have everything else for your transactional workload. For your analytics, it's not a transactional workload. So we say we do not need any other index. We just create a cluster column store index. So those are the flavors that are available to you out of the box when you are using the Dynamics on Azure platform. With that, I'll give it to Chris. But if there are any questions, I'll be happy to take.
All right.
Any questions for me? I hope you see the value from a real-time operational analytics perspective, right? OK, thank you.
All right, so I have a little demo for you. So this is like showing a little bit how is AX using this real-time analytics. Let me just log into this box. Oh, let me see if I still have the password saved here. Nope. So let's go in here and quickly access this environment. Yeah, we'll do that in a sec. No, we should be in five, right? Okay. Here, hold on. Let's get out of the presentation for a second. We're here in presenter mode. We just stop that for a quick second, and then you should see my screen. Here we go. So all I did was creating basically a new project here, and then I went to the module view in the Application Object Explorer, and then I went to the analytics item. So if you look in AX, I'm on the different objects, It stores all the various analytics items down here. And then there's real-time analytics, which Sunil just talked about, basically allows you to create all these column store indexes, which Sunil just explained. Automatically, you just right-click here and say Add Column Store Indexes. And it'll basically go through this cube, and it's just creating all of that, which you see here. So for all the measures, you get one of these NCCIs. And so that's basically what the AOT is doing for you, right? So you don't need to figure that things out. So you just define your measures, you define your aggregate measurements and all of that cubes, and boom, AX will do the rest for you.
I'll make a quick point on this. So when you define these attributes, right, when you create a non-cluster index, it's figuring out which columns are useful for analytics, and that's what it's being done.
Right. So yeah, and then these indexes are basically used by us in the real-time analytics parts of AX itself. So when we look into any kind of AX installation, come on, and then we go into any of the workspaces here, then I have these tiles. So I see my real-time information right here on the screen. I have tiles, I have a few tables, a few links. Let me see which is kind of another thing that's maybe a good one. And basically, these tiles, well, this is like a demo environment, so obviously there's not much to see. But then if you would be in production, you would see on this tile a pre-information, like, OK, this is how many pending orders I have, what is on hold, how many journals I'm posting, and so on and so on and so on. And yeah, basically, so this real-time analytics is feeding the workspaces. All right, so that is this demo. The next one, wait. Go to the slide. We just stopped. Start from here. All right. The next demo I wanted to show you is then another feature which AX is using, where we use SQL capabilities. And if you have seen one of my sessions before, I already demoed it twice. Sorry about that. But it turned out really well. So, and it's good to repeat things. Sometimes you're missing. Sometimes you find some new thing in something. So essentially, if we go into here and look at our environment monitoring page, then SQL, then AX is basically having this in LCS, the SQL Insights view. So you get through that, you get to that when you go log into LCS, you go into your environment view. Well, let me see if we have that somewhere. Just go directly in here. It stood from the start. For people who haven't seen it before, you go to Dynamics Demo Project, and in my case, and then select the production environment. And that works for sandbox and production, by the way. Click on full details. That takes a while. You only can click the link when the page is fully loaded. There you go. And then you basically click on environment monitoring. You see we really like the tile and the intelligent tile concept here. Do that over and over everywhere. And you click on SQL Insights. So that's basically the way to get there. And then what it basically shows you is it shows you an overview of all the queries which are running on the system and which take either a lot of CPU, logical I/O. So if you, for example, had an issue where you found, oh, my CPU time was high, you just go in here and say, which was the most expensive query? And then you can see basically which SQL statement took the most time. You can download the query plan. You can see a trend. And then it also will show you the index analysis the same way. You can look for inefficient patterns. Or you can look for very fast-growing tables. So you can basically do index analysis. You can go down here and see, oh, why is this table growing so fast? What's going on with the account distribution index? And then, yeah, then SQL Now basically shows you everything what's going on SQL Server right now. So any statements which are currently running, some certain blocking SQL statements, then log info, all this kind of things. All right. So let's go back to the presentation.
So let me interject, Chris, if you allow me. So the query store is actually like, I think of query store like a black box of the database server. So it is, you can enable it on the database, which we recommend highly, which is of course available on the cloud. So what it is doing is, it is capturing as your workload is running, the queries are running, how long it took to run, what was the query plan, stuff like that behind the scene. You don't have to worry about that. And for some reason, if you find something is running slow, you say what went wrong, because yesterday things were fine, you can even look at what went wrong, and you can say use that instead. So you have a lot more visibility, and this is where the power of query store is, right, without doing anything automatically out of the box.
Right. And after we cannot expose this query store, which Sunil mentioned, because we are on a PaaS platform, essentially we give you the same capabilities over LCS, so we have, you have a time filter, we can go back and forward between that, and and look into that. So another feature AX is enabling is, so have you heard of Hackathon? Well, so essentially it's an in-memory OLTP database server from SQL Server, or database solution from SQL Server, and we basically support that. And basically what we say, the hardware trend is, well, more and more and more memory can be used. So and in this way, we said, OK, let's jump on that bandwagon. And then we allowed you basically to create in the AOT, right, you can basically create hackathon tables. So those come like with a little disclaimer. So if you look at to create such a table, you just set the durability to schema and data and the storage mode to in-memory. And with that, you create like an in-memory hackathon table. And so the problem is that these tables will not work perfectly with other tables. So they will not, if you join to a regular AX table or if you join to an in-memory temp table, these tables are not persisting data, right? So you treat them more like a temp table. If you want to do mass data insert and you want to massage this data, those tables are incredibly strong. So if you want to do an insert record set in one of these tables, massage your data with a few update record set, that's an excellent use case. But if you intend to use them more like to persist data, then they're obviously the wrong thing to use, right? So they're really good for high volume operations where you don't want any transaction lock or anything. You just push data in, massage the data, and basically, and then go back to regular tables.
Chris, if you allow me, let me make a couple of comments. So this in-memory tables or hackathon tables, like Chris was pointing out, it is leveraging the new hardware that is available, like a lot of cores, a lot of memory. And with this in-memory table, we have seen with many workloads can speed up on the same box 30 times. Not 30%, 30 times. Such a huge speed up, okay? And so Dynamics AX team was very excited about using the same technology inside their product so they can get that kind of benefit and pass it to our customers. You see the durability is schema and data. That's the default mode. When you create that table, your in-memory table will be persisted. You shut down, restart, data is still there. It's persisted. It is in-memory for the faster manipulation, faster access, but it is persisted. But the scenario that Chris was describing was like transient data. Suppose you have data that is not this transient in nature, right? In SQL Server without in-memory, even if it is transient, we will do fully persisted data, right? The schema only option on the in-memory table is very good for ETL cases or transient data. It just stores the data in memory. There is no logging, there is no storage, right? It gives us an amazing amount of performance because you just take all of the resources away. So those are the two things I wanted to point out. Thanks, Chris.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the entity store. So just recently, we shipped the entity store. And basically, what that is like, if you look how many databases AX has, its main production database. And then it has management reporter database for financial reporting. Then it has like an SSRS database for basically the transactional reporting. And then we have the read-only database, which I've soon mentioned before, which we can use to offload workloads. And now we created our own database for analytics workloads. So why did we do that? So first of all, in our testings, we found that if I combine a regular table with normal indexes and NCCIs, we don't always get the absolute optimum performance. So to basically get a little bit better performance, we decided, OK, let's create another database. And we just synchronize the data over. That gives you some multitude of benefits. So the one benefit is instead of having only a read-only secondary, we have a fully writable database, which is in sync with a production database. It's not like one-on-one in sync, so I can do only certain things with it. I can, for example, do like data provider reports from there. This is something I can do, particularly as it enables features like an on-demand sync. So that means you can, at any point in time, say, OK, I run this report now. I need to sync. So I can build, like, in my code, I can say, now sync my data before I run this report. And then the report would basically run from this other database instead of basically putting load on the main database. In the read-only secondary, what we do is we, for example, use the query-based reports. And all the tile cache you have seen, that is basically done in the read-only database. And here we look into doing more write workloads. So future improvements on the read-only workloads will be that we, for example, get fact boxes, preview panes, and all kind of stuff like that from the read-only workloads. And then things where we need write access will go to the analytics workloads. So the analytics workloads, that would be Power BI, Cortana Analytics, predictions, read-only workloads, as we described before. let's look at a few key scenarios. So the entity SOAP essentially is like really for high volume near real time. So near real time means like maybe an hour difference or something like that. It gets automatically synchronized every 24 hours. But then you can say also like every hour I want to like update it or update a few certain things of it. Near real time Power BI reporting. So one thing I didn't mention so much in the demo and maybe also Sunil didn't go too much into it is, like, in the past, you would have had SQL Server Analysis Service, right? Now we have the entity store, basically, and we have this real-time analytics. So all the schemas and all your analytics objects are actually in the main AX database. So if you don't have an entity store, you get all this data from there, which is then obviously putting a lot of stress on this main database. And with that, we can basically do all these very costly operations somewhere outside. And we can denormalize the schema, and we can also create clustered column store indexes, what Sunil explained before so nicely, where he said, well, there you have a non-clustered column store index that does this and this and this. But obviously, to be really efficient, I need clustered column store indexes. So with the entity store, as soon as I have like a regular table I have normal clustered indexes, I cannot create a clustered column store indexes. But as soon as I am in a separate database with my data just synced, I can create these clustered column store indexes, and I can create NCCIs on top of that. So I can be really optimum treating my analytics workload, and I can support Power BI reports or Cortana analytics very, very fast. So what we also use this entity store for is like for stage data, so if you want to use it for machine learning, there's multitude of users which we envision, and for external data integration. So like if you like on stage to Azure Data Lake or an Azure Data Warehouse. So the entity store itself is designed for analytical scenarios, and it's included in the AX license. So when you buy it, it's always there. And it typically gets deployed right away on a P2. So it's probably, in any deployment, one of the more expensive parts. But it definitely provides this value for it. Then we essentially manage the whole deployment and the refresh of the data. And you can basically just say, OK, I want to sync now, this on-demand sync. We plan to also implement like an incremental sync in the next one or two updates, where you can basically, because right now the sync works like that, so you will always like sync everything and then on demand just parts of it. But we plan on having a true incremental sync which runs like more often, maybe every half an hour or every hour in the near future. And that is the last point. The optionally, customer can stage data in Azure DB. So that is something we by ourselves try to enable, where we say, maybe you can use it a little more and like use it for stage data, for heavyweight processes. And we have a plan of backporting it to X2012 R3. So, and with that, we are actually already through our slides here. So a little summary is the SQL capability, SQL Server 2016. We work in the cloud and on-prem for dev. AX7 is leveraging that for the dev installation and for deploying. And so the benefit for you and for AX7 is it's one AX7 platform and two deployment options. Then we talked a little bit about how Dynamics AX scales, how it utilizes things like the Malmö, the Elastic Pools, that it automatically scales up and down depending on your business needs. The multiple read-only databases, well, the main purpose is to offload read and write workloads and spread the load into multiple DB instances instead of just being on the main database. If you used AX2012, then you know that something like that was nearly impossible, and now it's basically there out of the box. Operational analytics, basically the aggregate measurements in AX, the NCCI table we talked about, and near real-time analytics on the same database, the AX production database or the entity store. And then the in-memory OLTP, which you can just set via table properties, and we can just create, very fast, efficient tables for data access. I think then we open the floor for questions.
So if there are no questions, I think we want to emphasize one quick point, that the Dynamics AX team is working very, very closely with SQL Server team, because we have so much new features coming out which can give a huge amount of performance power, like in-memory OLTP or operational analytics. And Dynamics team is just, we work very closely together. So any innovation that we do on a data platform is visible to this application and to you right away. And SQL DB implementation, those things happen automatically. There is no deployment needed. I mean, we just improve the bits behind the scene. We have every month, we improve SQL Server code that is running on the cloud. And other important point is that you as a user, you have much better control on the cost, because you're just paying pay as you use kind of a scenario, rather than buying a big box because you don't know what you need over the next 3 years. So those are some very positive changes that you will see with the Azure environment. And I know you're not SQL Server audience. I do a lot of SQL Server presentations, but any other questions, we'll be happy to answer.
No questions for one, two, three.
If all right, not, well, done. Have a safe flight home, and thanks for being here.
Safe travels.
Yeah, take care.